said to him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. The king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machar, son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machar, the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan and thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant? Thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. That therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruit, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. All and all that dwell in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us today to come this way. God, to be able to look to you. God, to see your face and see your mercy and see your grace. Now, God, I pray, Father, right now, may you reach down, help us to be able to proclaim, God, the truth of this text in such a manner, in such a way. God, that hearts might be touched. God, there be one here today never been saved by the grace of God. Lord, may they see your kindness. Lord, may they see your grace. God, may they come to you. Father, we pray. God, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your power. Yes, we ask in thy name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to start off with an illustration I come across this morning. It goes right along with this passage of Scripture. It says this. A story is told about Floretta LaGuardia, who, when he was mayor of New York City during the worst days of the Great Depression, all of World War II, was called by door New Yorkers as the Little Flower because he was only 5 foot four. He always went around, wore a carnation in his lapel. He was a colorful character who used to ride in the New York City fire trucks and speakeasies with the police department, take entire overnights to baseball games. And whenever the New York newspapers were on strike, he would go on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor turned up at a night court that served the poorest ward of the city. Guardia dismissed the judge, amen, and he took the bench, amen. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told the guardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen refused to drop the charges. It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor, said the shopkeeper. The man told the mayor, she's got to be punished to teach others around here a lesson. The guardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, I've got to punish you. The law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail. But even as he pronounced the sentence, the mayor was reaching down into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into the famous sombrero, saying, Here is the $10 fine which I now remit. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. So the following day, the New York City newspapers reported, amen, that $47.50 was turned over to the bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of the amount being contributed by the red-faced grocery owner, store owner. Why, some 70 petty criminals with people and the police and people with traffic violations and all the New York City policemen that were there, each one who had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave the mayor a standing ovation. Ain't this like the Lord? Amen. We deserve, amen, the penalty for our sin. But I'm so glad in His goodness, just like the mayor did. Showed forth, amen, the grace to be able to give us what we don't deserve and the mercy, amen, to go our way. We see that in this passage of Scripture here, amen, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And I want to preach upon this thought this morning. Oh, we look at what it said in verse number 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" I want to preach upon the thought this morning on the kindness of the king. The kindness of the king. How many old Mephibosheth could probably say, "God been so good to me. The king has been so good to me." How about we see in this passage of Scripture a beautiful picture of the grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in this Scripture, we see the Savior. We see the spirit of a servant. We see the sinner. And we see salvation. Amen. We can look at this passage of Scripture. If you look in the context of this passage of Scripture, I believe we can see that David, amen, him as a type of Christ. And we also see Ziba, amen, as the one, the servant that David sent, amen, to seek out Mephibosheth as a type of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad, Brother Gerald, one day the Savior sent the Spirit to my heart, to my life. That was a sinner on my way to hell to see me and bring me to the Father. We see that in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want to look at the fall of Mephibosheth. First of all, we see this. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Let me go ahead and set the statement. If you know what this is all about, how that Jonathan was the King Saul's son. Amen. And David was and Jonathan, souls were knit together, had a very close relationship together. How that they loved each other in a great way. And we find out that Jonathan made a covenant with David. Amen. That David would show kindness, amen, to the house of Saul. And always looked to him because of the love that David had for Jonathan. He made a covenant with him to always show kindness to the house of Saul. Now, I want you to understand in biblical times, in biblical days, when the new king, amen, arose, amen, it was uncustomary to show kindness to the enemy. It was uncustomary, Brother Perry, to show kindness to those that were once in power or to those families. As a matter of fact, you look, a lot of evil kings in biblical days would seek out, amen, the children, and anybody of the family of the former one, the king, and he would put them to death because of a fear of an uprising from that family. But here we see a difference about this king. Him and this king had made a covenant with Jonathan that he would show kindness upon the house of Saul forever. Thank God for the king that shows compassion. Thank God for the king that's unlike any other king. Thank God, I'm glad we can see that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He shows compassion like none other. Amen. He is like none other. First of all, we see the fall of Mephibosheth. We see his dire condition. The Bible said, verse 2, there was the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Amen. We see, first of all, the dire condition, amen, of Mephibosheth. Amen. We know the story the Bible tells in 2 Samuel chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Let me just turn there and read that for you. 2 Samuel 4:4, the Bible says this. It says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Here we see the Mephibosheth. He was lame from the time he was 5 years old. Here we see Mephibosheth. When he's just a young boy, from the age of infanthood to 5 years old, knew what it meant to have the best of everything. Knew what it meant. To have the fine clothing. To be treated in a royal manner. To be able, to have the best of food to eat. But we find out things changed. When he was 5 years old, when word came to Saul and his dad Jonathan were killed, the nurse took him up in fear of their life and began to flee the process. She fell and he became lame at that point. Can you imagine a five-year-old boy? That was used to everything. All of a sudden, not only is he hurting, is he lame. Not only, but he does not have the fine, lavish clothing. The fine food that he once had. We see the dire condition of Mephibosheth. Can I tell you today, thank God we can identify with Mephibosheth. A cause of sin. We find it was the cause of another. And that he was wounded, not of his own doing. Bible tells us, in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse number 12, wherefore by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of the transgression of Adam, there in the Garden of Eden, sin was pronounced upon mankind. Sin was pronounced upon you and I. We came into this world, but as a sinner, realizing, that it because we were born into sin, because of the sin of Adam, because of another. We can identify, with Mephibosheth and knowing how, because we are in the condemnation of sin. We see our dire condition. I'm not able to help ourselves. Not able to take care of ourselves, spiritually speaking. But thank God, I'm glad Jesus took care of us. The King. We see a dire condition. We see, his difficult circumstance. He was helpless in his condition. He couldn't get up, and go take care of what he needed to do. He couldn't get up and do the things that everybody else could. He couldn't go play with the other kids. He had to depend upon somebody else to take care of him. Here's a man that used to, a young boy that used to know what it meant to have everything. But now he has nothing. And I say there are many folks in life found herself, doing well financially, doing well in their family, doing well in their homes. But all of a sudden, because of sin, Brother Perry, they find themselves, whether it be alcohol, whether it be drugs, or whatever it may be, how they find themselves, they once had plenty, they once had enough, they once had everything, but now they have nothing. We see that dire circumstance. We see that difficult situation that he found himself in. How can I say today, the Bible said, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Notice something about during the reign of David, we see God's grace that is realized. But also, we also see in the reign of Solomon, we see the judgment that is revealed. You know the story how the one that David was running for his life because his son was overthrown the throne. One came out against David and the company that were fleeing. Haman began to throw rocks at him and make David. When David came back in the rain, he began to say to himself, "Well, I'll go fall upon the mercy of David." And he did, and David spared his life. But when David told Solomon right before he died, don't hold him guiltless. We see what happened in that situation. But we see, not only the fall of Mephibosheth, but I want you to notice something else. We see the second thing, amen, the friend of Mephibosheth. I like this. Amen. And David said, is there yet any left, amen, of the house of Saul that I may show him? Y'all bear with me. If you want to shout a little bit, go ahead. Amen. David had a friend and he really didn't know it. David had a friend, thank God, that even, Mephibosheth, excuse me, had a friend in David that he did not realize. Thank God, when I was lost on my way to hell, I had a friend and I didn't even know it. I had someone who was looking for me and I didn't even realize that. If you're here today, maybe you're listening to the sound of my voice. You may find yourself in a back alley of this world. Find yourself in the depths of sin. You may be thinking to yourself, I ain't got a friend nowhere. Thank God you do have a friend. His name is Jesus. He is the King. And he is looking for you. We see the friend. Amen. Amen of Mephibosheth. As we look at young Mephibosheth now, or grown up to the point, maybe some few years later, I don't know how old he was when we see this sitting take place. We find out, hey, that Mephibosheth from 5 years old up to this point found himself in a place that he could find no satisfaction. Can I say today, you and I, before we got saved by the grace of God, Brother Perry, I look for all the satisfaction. I look for all the happiness. I look for all the joy, but I could not find it in this world. Yep. Her fake smoke, folks. I've made this statement many times, and I'll say it again. If you're here today, you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're watching me on Facebook and don't know the Lord. You're looking for Jesus, and you just don't know it. You're looking for a friend and just don't realize it. Amen. Why do folks, amen, put the drugs in their arms? Why do folks take the alcohol, amen, and guzzle it down to become consumed with it? Why do they look for the pleasure of this world? I try to find it, but yet they still find no satisfaction. I read a story of a sports hero. I'll not mention his name, but he had the best of everything. He had a lavish lifestyle, enough money to do what he wanted to, buy what he wanted to. Amen. Could go out and, amen, and just live up his life with anybody he wanted to. But one day, the story's told about him, and he's driving an old mountain road. He decided he just turned the steering wheel because he had nothing to live for. God gloriously spared his life. Now that same individual is telling the story about how God, even all that he had in his lavish lifestyle, couldn't find the happiness, he couldn't find the joy until he met Jesus. Can I say today, this is the friend, amen, and Mephibosheth had and he didn't know it. Amen, we see there is no satisfaction in the world. We see, amen, there is no salvation, amen, in this world. There is no deliverance in this world. But thank God there is a friend. Thank God is reaching out to you and I. Amen, it reached out to me one day when I was lost and on my way to hell. It gave me what I needed. Amen. In the midst of my distress, in the midst of my circumstance, in the midst of my sin, thank God he loved me. The Bible says, Romans 5, verse 8, but God commends his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I say, you're here today, you need Jesus. Amen. I'm glad there is a friend. You may feel like you ain't got nobody. You ain't got nobody to watch over you, look after you, care for you. But thank God there is a friend whose name is Jesus. Thank God loved you enough that he died on Calvary's cross to keep you and I out of hell. Amen. You see, not only friend of Mephibosheth. But look on. The Bible says the king said, is there any that Saul, that I may show kindness of God unto him. Thou hast said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son who is lame in his feet. I like this. And the king said unto him, where is he? Not only we see, amen, the friend of Mephibosheth, but we see also, amen, the fetching of Mephibosheth. Where is he? Where is Mephibosheth? Where is this one? Amen, that's left of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness to him. Amen, look what he said. And the king said, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Makar, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. That word Lodabar deeply means pastureless or no pasture. It was a dry land. It was an arid land. Amen, we find out that also not only do we see this pasture, we see that word mature means to be sold. Can I say today, you and I were sold under sin. Amen. Without life, without hope. But thank God I'm glad. Amen. The king said, where is he? Amen. He said, glad for the parent one day. Amen. Let me say this. God knows right where you're at. But he said, where is he? Amen. He sent Ziba down to the house. Amen. There to make sure Lodabar to fetch out. Amen. The young man by the name of Ziba. Mephibosheth. Ain't you glad? Those of us are here saved by the grace of God. The one day the question was asked, where is he? Ain't you glad that one day that God spoke to the Holy Ghost and says, go down and get him. Oh, go down and convict him. Go down and fetch him. Amen. Bring him to me. Thank God, I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God convicted my heart that Tuesday night revival meeting. Fetch me to the feet of the king. Hey, man, thank God at Calvary Baptist Church. He fetched me, brought me, amen, to the altar. Thank God there I met my king. Amen. See, ain't you glad today, hey, man, that the Lord came down, amen, and fetched you. King said to him, where is he? And I was saying to the king, behold, he's in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, and Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him. Amen. Out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. He said, son, go get him. Ziba, you go down there and get him. You go there and fetch him out of that desolate place, out of that dire condition, of that destitute place that he's in. You go down there and get him out. Thank God that you're glad. That's exactly what God done for you and I. Oh, I was lost and on my way to hell. Hey, man, I could help myself. I could not help myself. I was hopeless and helpless. But thank God the king, hey, man, sent the Holy Ghost of God my way. And said, son, go down there, convict him of his condition. Having raised him my feet. Having go down there and get him. Ain't that a friend? You see, that's the kindness and grace of an almighty God, the great king. See the fetching. Amen. Amen to Mephibosheth. Oh, but I want you to know something else. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And then when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. Here we see the fear of Mephibosheth. You see, as I've already said, in biblical times, amen, if you was of the household of a former king, amen, you better watch out. You better be in hiding. And that's exactly where he was at. He was in hiding. Amen. The Bible tells us he was in Lodabar. Lodabar, amen, was on the other side of Jordan, which is a picture, amen, of Egypt. Amen.
Oh, but thank God. Hey, man, his friend. How the king showed kindness. You go over Jordan. Hey, man. With the picture of the world, picture of destitute, picture of troubles and trials. You go over there. You get him out. You bring him to where I am. Ain't you glad that's exactly what God did for the children of Israel? He brought them out of Egypt, and Jordan was that dividing place. Amen. The picture of taking them out of the world and bringing them into the grace of God. Oh, can I tell you how so glad we see in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our unworthiness, in the midst of our destitute, we realize, hey, amen, that we're not worthy of salvation. We're not worthy of the kindness of anybody. Hey, amen. But we see that Mephibosheth fell on his face in reverence before the king. You see, folks, we see the king in all his glory. That's exactly what we'll do. Hey, amen. I've heard folks make the statement, hey, amen, people come to the altar, hey, amen, cutting up, hey, amen, blowing bubble gums, smiling ear to ear when they come to the altar. And when I come to the altar, I come broken. Hey, amen, I come in reverence. I come in worthiness, realizing I was lost, realizing I was on my way to hell, realizing I needed Jesus. Hey, amen, it was a fear of dying and going to hell. When I come before the Master, and how I come before him in fear and reverence, just like Mephibosheth did. And we're living in a world today, hey, amen, said you can get saved any old way. No, you can't. The only way you're going to get saved, you're going to have to see God for who he is, see yourself for who you are, and bow in front of a holy God and reverence to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy, but I need you. And that's the way. Can I tell you today, we see the fear of Mephibosheth. Amen, we see. Amen. Amen, he was seen in his honoring the king. Verse number 6, where he said, now when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, can't come, David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. Brother Perry, Mephibosheth was coming, looking, amen, at maybe the judgment of the king. But what he found when he got there was not the judgment of the king, but the kindness of the king. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I come, amen, in reverence to God, I come, amen, looking for the judgment of God, but thank God instead of judgment, I found mercy and I found grace. Just as the young lady was caught in very active adultery, and amen, the priests and scribes brought her to the feet of Jesus. Amen, according to the law, she's worthy of death. Thank God what she found. Amen, instead of the stones being thrown at her until she died, she found the kindness of the king. Just as Mephibosheth. Ain't you glad, thank God, in the midst of our unworthiness, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our, amen, not being worthy of life, amen, God, instead of our judgment, he brought mercy and grace. Then we see, not only that, we see the faith, amen, of Mephibosheth. Verse 8 says this, and he bowed himself, said, what is thy servant? Thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. You see, Mephibosheth saw himself for what he was, somebody in need of a friend. Somebody in need of kindness. Somebody in need of grace. When I came to an old-fashioned altar, I found myself in that same condition. Brother Ed lost and on my way to hell. Lord, why would you even look upon somebody like me? I even still today look at myself in that same scenario, some of the things that I do and I allow myself to be caught up with. Amen, the things that I allow myself to be bound, bonded by. I find myself coming to the king still and say, Lord, Why should you look upon somebody like me? Why should you look upon, a child of God is not walking contrary, not walking according to your will, and still choose to love me and be my friend? Why, Lord, should you look upon somebody like me? Oh, thank God. Can I say today, amen, if you're here never been saved by the grace of God, or maybe you're here today, maybe you have been saved, you find yourself out of the will of God, oh, just fall upon the mercy of the King. Fall upon the grace of the King. Amen, say, Lord, amen, why should you look upon me? But Lord, I'm coming to you as a dead dog. I'm coming to you unworthy. Lord, I'm calling upon your mercy and your grace. That's what the King's looking for. Somebody's willing to bow in reverence, bow in unworthiness, realize where they're at, realize their mistakes, realize that Jesus is the answer today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with, but you do. God does. Oh, and there is a friend here today that's taken closer than a brother. There is one here today, the King of all kings, willing to show forth his kindness to you in the midst of your tragedy, the midst of your troubles, the midst of your trials. You'll only come. He exhibited the pollution of sin. David cried out in verse number 8, why should you look upon somebody like me, such a dead dog? But I like not only that part of his faith, but we see the second part, which I really like. Look what he said. Then the king, and he bowed and said, what is that servant that shall look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called his Absalom's servant and said to him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Did you catch that? All that young Mephibosheth knew as a little boy. The king said, it's yours now. All the land that your grandpa had, it's yours now. All the land that pertained to your grandpa, it's yours now. Whoa, that was unheard of in biblical time. Amen, for a new reigning king, amen, to restore a land or a kingdom, amen, that he just overtook. But yet this king is unlike any other king. This king is different than any other king. He is the king. Not a king, but the king. Thank God that you're glad today. Thank God he is the same king. That's willing to reach down and touch you. Maybe you find yourself, amen, in the depths of sin. This is the king can bring you back to where you need to be. Just like King David, many years after, the Bible said we find that David, amen, committed sin against Bathsheba, against Uriah. Amen. Psalm chapter 51, David fell himself, put himself upon the same mercies of the King of Kings, the God of all God. Oh, wash me thoroughly, cleanse me, against thee and thee only have I sinned. You see, folks, you and I too can put ourselves upon the mercy of the King one more time. Oh, he enjoyed, amen, the pardon of salvation. He was accepted. He found a new place. 2 Samuel 9, verse number 7, and David said, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan's sake, and will restore thee all the land as I saw thy father. But catch this, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Found himself in a new place. Found himself in a new position. He had a family. Amen, a king, a leader that loved him. Amen, and took him as his own. He found himself in a new provision. Oh, he said, David said, say this to Mephibosheth, you'll eat bread at my table continually. Verse 13 said this, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Now I want you to catch the picture. Amen. In closing, see all of David's family sitting with him there at the supper table. The tablecloth was spread abroad. Amen. Went down to the laps of David's family. But all we find also, amen, one by the name of Mephibosheth sitting right there with him. Brother Ed, as we look at that table, as we look at the servants, as we look at the sons, as we look at Mephibosheth, thank God that tablecloth, amen, is wrapped over their laps. And as you look at them, you never know. Thank God that Mephibosheth couldn't walk. You never know. Amen, they were lame in both his feet. Why? Because of the provision and the covering of the king. Amen, that took care of the provision. The king said, he's going to be at my table. Amen. You could see no difference. Why? Because of the king's kindness. Ain't you glad today, those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we've experienced the king's kindness? Not only do we experience it, but every day, guess what? Even every day you look over that table, every day they sat down at the meal, you looked and you seen Mephibosheth covered by that tablecloth. Covered by the kindness of the king. You can see the lameness. You can see where he used to be. All you can see was his present position and his present provision because of the kindness of the king. Can I say today we are the same way? We're no different. We're no different than Mephibosheth. Amen. I was lame because of sin. Couldn't help myself. Helpless, hopeless because of sin. Thank God the kindness of the king one day sent the Holy Ghost of God down my way and said, listen, I want to show kindness. I want to show grace. I want to bring salvation to him. You go down there and you fetch him. Hey, man, let me stop there and say one more thing. Did you notice something about when he set him down to fetch him? Amen. He didn't send him down to, amen, to say, well, I'm going to give you or send me down, or say, I'm just going to send you a doctor down there to heal you. Amen, which is a form of religion. He didn't send him there with a set of crutches down in Mephibosheth. Amen, which is, amen, a type of the law to try to help him a little bit. But he says, you go down there and get him. Bring him to me. Ain't you glad that's what my king done for me? Amen. He didn't say religion be good enough. He didn't say, hey, do this and do that. Hey, man, live this way and live that way is good enough. He said, no, I want to go a step further. I want you to go down. I want you to get him. I want you to bring him to me. I want to put him in a new position, give him a new provision. I want to do for him what he cannot do for himself. And that's exactly what the king did for us. You see, we see the Savior. We see the servant of the Holy Spirit. We see the sinner, but we see salvation. You see, that's the kindness of the king. But Jerry, I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve the grace and the kindness of the king. But thank God he showed it to me. God had been so good to me. We could all hold up our hands. Amen, and say, because I was in Lodabar. I was where Mephibosheth was. I was down there helpless and hopeless. But thank God, amen, the king has sent his servant to convict me and bring me to the place of salvation so I can find the peace and the provision and a position that I never would ever begin to dream I'd ever be. Why? Because of the kindness of the king. Give your head bowed. That's the message. To come, get a verse of song today. Do you know Jesus as Lord of your Savior? Amen. Are you maybe like Mephibosheth, find yourself in Lodabar? Find your life in ruins. Find your life in a mess, destitute, helpless, and